crash occurred at 2 a.m. on Saturday Australian time in the Sydney suburb of Chifley in a residential street. Neighbours awoke to an almighty bang, telling me they heard a car screeching down the road before it spun out of control and slammed into a parked van. Four men were in the vehicle and two of those emerged immediately after and fled the scene. And the other two on the side where it's believed the impact hit were trapped for around an hour. Emergency services worked to free them. A 25-year-old had to be put in an induced coma at the scene as he was critically injured. He was taken to St George Hospital and the other 27-year-old passenger was taken to Royal Prince Alfred Hospital in a serious but stable condition. Police were on scene canvassing CCTV from neighbours for most of the next day and began their search for the pair that fled the scene.
I would say the families of those that were trapped in that vehicle, they are very seriously injured. But this could be very different. I mean, the vehicle could have caught fire. Emergency services may have not responded as promptly, you know, for one reason or another. This could be a fatal collision. It wouldn't take an awful lot more for that to have been the case.
That's right. Emergency services said the injuries were quite substantial, as did neighbours, that there was a lot of screaming and yelling and quite dramatic thing to wake up to in the middle of the night. So they're very lucky. We have had an update recently from St George Hospital to say the man who was critically injured is on the mend. He's now in a stable condition. But as you say, it could have been much worse, especially as, you know, the pair fled and didn't render assistance now before the courts. But, to not respond to help their fellow friends or whoever was in the car is quite concerning, as it could have been much worse.
So the search then commenced, obviously, for the two that fled the scene. And that led to the apprehension of 22-year-old Terence Wilkinson, who's originally from Dunfanaghy here in Donegal, Ireland. What was the circumstances surrounding his arrest?
That's right. So it was about 9 p.m. on Monday night. He was arrested on board a flight bound for Dublin at Sydney Airport. And police told us that the aircraft was already taxiing on the runway and had to be turned around. So he was very much about to fly out of Australia. So police will allege that he was the driver of the car and he's been charged with a string of offences, including negligent and dangerous driving and failing to stop and assist after causing grievous bodily harm and the injuries that the other two sustained. So he appeared in court yesterday and was granted conditional bail, so he's not locked up, but he will next appear in court on August 15th here in Sydney.
I'd imagine he'd have to surrender his passport as part of those bail conditions.
You would think so. I'm not exactly sure what was outlined as part of the condition for bail, but given the flight risk would be significant, I would say the prosecutors would have argued that surely was one of those conditions, and I'd say they'd be watching closely to ensure that they can have him in court on August 15.
Obviously, at this point, his involvement is alleged. He has been charged and due process is to be followed. Do we have any idea upon conviction of anyone for the charges that are levelled against him, what the range of sentencing may be? I don't want to put you on the spot either, Sarah, but do we have any indication? Can you draw on any sort of previous trials?
Yeah, well, grievous bodily harm has such a wide range. It can be, you know, someone who has been on, you know, nearly death's door with very serious injuries, or, you know, someone who's just had something that impacts them for, you know, their work for the remainder of their career or anything like that. So there's quite a breadth. So it'd be hard to estimate exactly what might be the sentence for a charge like this. Certainly if grievous bodily harm resulting in death, that can be decades in jail. But given this, the man that was critically injured does seem to have taken a turn for the better, I'd say that would reduce the sentence. However, given there was allegedly a flee from a scene, that would be taken very seriously in the court, that someone was not able to render assistance when emergency was unfolding, for sure.
Yeah, and there can be certain other factors, like who called emergency services, were those in the car called them, and there's lots of different things I presume may end up being taken into consideration. Now, the fourth person, the second person alleged to have fled the vehicle, police actively seeking that person too, presumably?
That's right. So far as I know, the latest information we have is that the fourth person in the vehicle is still on the run, and they would be trying to piece together information from neighbours who may have witnessed them leave the scene, or anyone who may be an associate of this this group, to try and track him down as well. So I can imagine police from the Metropolitan Crash Investigation Unit would be hot on the case, and hopefully there'll be a development on that soon.
Presumably canvassing the Irish community, of course, what you do often see when people of one country travel to another, that generally end up in a relatively tight-knit community. So I presume police will be looking to that community for information.
Yeah, I'm sure that's an avenue that they're exploring for sure. I mean, yeah, there's lots of groups in Sydney for different nationalities and cultures that get together. So I'm sure that they'll be able to piece together something, unless, of course, our injured couple of fellas might be willing to give up a name. But that's obviously, unknown at this point.
Now, we understand three of the four occupants of the vehicle were from Donegal. Do you know the breakdown of that, or have you any details in that regard, Sarah? Because it might be hard to work out, but like, is the person, do we know if the person police are seeking is one of the three from Donegal, or do you have any information in that regard?
I don't have that detail. I have heard the same, that three out of the four are from Donegal, but I'm not sure if this person who's still at large, if you like, is from there. So I'm not able to confirm that one.